Hello and welcome, Transformation Talk Radio listeners and podcast listeners everywhere. My name is Ellen Stewart, and I am the pushy broad from the Bronx.
She's the pushy broad from the Bronx, New York. Follow her voice, a straight dog is nice. She's the pushy broad from the Bronx, oh yeah. Don't be surprised if you wanna listen twice. Make decisions, find the right choice. Know yourself better, find your own voice. It's okay if you need help today, cause everybody needs a little push. From the pushy broad from the Bronx, New York.
This weekly show, Everybody Needs a Little Push, with Ellen Stewart, the pushy broad from the Bronx, will be aired every Wednesdays on Transformation Talk Radio and podcast stations everywhere at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern. I am delighted to bring you my weekly podcast program, which I hope will inspire you, coach you,
sometimes make you laugh,
and give you the push moment you need to move forward. And I'm going to do it the pushy Broadway. Straight up. No BS, easy, quick, with answers, suggestions, and directions that will give you a coaching experience that will be part cheerleader and part drill sergeant. Because everybody needs a little push from time to time. And here comes yours.
Everybody, 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 everybody needs a little push.
Everybody needs a little push.
Everybody, 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 everybody needs a little push.
The topic of this show is very compelling. First, we're going to do an interview with an adult child living at home with an active alcoholic. And then we're going to take a look at what addiction really means and whether or not there is such a thing as too much. How much is too much when it comes to drinking and drugging? Do you have a problem? Do you have an addiction? An abuse? Are you a social drinker or a social drug user? Let's find out what the differences are. Okay, I'm here with my co-producer, Richard, and we have decided to talk about a topic that this week is both near and dear to our hearts. We have spent the past week and a half, dealing with loved ones who have been distinctively suffering from alcohol and substance misuse. That alcohol and substance misuse has caused them to be quite erratic and be in an emotional crisis, which has led them both down the path of seeking treatment. And I thought that it would be a great thing to talk about because I know that alcohol and substance misuse has touched all of our lives in so many different ways. And I know that all of you out there may be able to relate in some manner, shape, or form to someone who has an alcohol or substance misuse problem, whether that is you personally or you are an adult child of an alcoholic or a drug user. So, Richard is here as an adult child of an alcoholic. And we're going to talk a little bit about what that means to him. And I am here as a recovering addict with 34 years of sobriety and also have family members who are in recovery and also suffering from substance misuse, and I am handling that as well. And we thought that this was important enough to bring to the podcast in hopes that those of you out there can relate and understand that you are not alone, and that as a certified life coach, I spend a lot of my time working as a recovery coach, helping families grapple with this problem from all sides. So, with that being said, I'm going to ask Richard a few questions about being an adult child of an alcoholic. So thank you very much for opening up to me today. I appreciate it.
It's not a problem. Thank you. I'm glad to be here and talk about this.
So you and I have talked about this before, but I just wanted to get a little bit personal and a little bit real with you.
Sure.
Tell me when you first had an inkling that your father had a problem with alcohol misuse. How old were you?
I would say around 4 or 5 years old. It kind of felt like almost my whole life, you know, probably around the time that I could be conscious enough to notice things.
All right. So at that time, 4 or 5, or when you said conscious enough to notice things, what did you actually notice?
He would just drink a lot. And there was always, you know, bottles of alcohol, whiskey or whatever. Brandy actually was his drink of choice for the most part. And the result of that, too, the fact that he would, just like most alcoholics, you know, who abuse alcohol, he'd get assertive, he'd get aggressive, he'd yell a lot. Pretty much that.
Well, okay, but that's how your father manifested his alcoholism. Understand that most alcoholics don't necessarily get assertive or aggressive. There are many alcoholics that get silent and introverted.
Well, he wasn't.
But, okay, so your dad was a little bit more assertive and aggressive.
Yeah.
When you say that to me, what does aggressive mean?
Well, at least in his case, not only yelling and screaming, maybe a little... I wouldn't say now he'd hit us or anything like that. Maybe just a little assertive, maybe a little like arm wrenching or, you know, a little shoving.
So he never came out and physically hit you?
Nothing more than like, you know, a smack or two, nothing that we couldn't handle, but not a straight up attack or anything like that.
So did this happen maybe basically at a certain time of day? Is this when he came home from work in the evenings? Was this a daily event? Tell me a little bit about the schedule of those things.
Well, I would definitely a daily event and definitely whenever he came back from home. You know, we'd all probably
came back from work.
Back from work, excuse me. You know, we'd all come back from school, my brother and I, my parents would come back from work, and it would just be from there, whatever set him off, pretty much.
So he'd be sitting down after dinner with a bottle of brandy and a couple of drinks.
Yeah, and you know what? He would never do it at the dinner table. He tried to be discreet about it, which I know a lot of alcoholics do, but we know. And think was that.
So dad would come home after work and have dinner, right? And then how would he go about drinking? Where would he drink?
It would never be at the dinner table necessarily. Not really in front of us. He would kind of hide it a lot, actually.
How would he hide it? Go into a back room, go into his bedroom,
exactly.
Close the door.
Exactly. Back room, close the door. Later on when we moved to our current home, he'd go to the garage, or usually whenever he's watching TV in his room alone, again, closed doors.
I see.
Like that.
So many people that do have a substance misuse problem and don't want the world to see how much they're abusing alcohol or drugs will do it in isolation. We'll do it with nobody looking. We'll hide that happening. Okay, so then he would emerge hours later, and how would his behavior change?
Just being more, I guess, demanding, you know, just asking my mom, like, what are you doing? Or what's she doing? This and that. Well, do this for me. Like, you know, it was just, I guess, just a drunk man in his home, you know?
Aggressive being, and demanding.
Yeah, you know.
Did both you and your brother feel this the same? Was your brother aware of the fact that your father had a drinking problem?
Absolutely. I'm the youngest of the both of us, so you know, I was well aware of it at an early age. For my brother, it more so was maybe more of a surprise down the road because he was able to see him before he really started to spiral down.
I see. So what you're telling me is there was a spiral downward. Do you have any idea what caused that spiral downward?
I, as an adult, or as I've aged, you know, through life, I'm still very, very young with a lot to learn. But I was able
to...
Well,
you're 21, right?
22.
22, ooh, right? Very young with a lot to learn, but on the road.
Right.
Okay.
But having that said, you know, I became more conscious, aware of my surroundings and observed things. I don't know if maybe the pressure of having two kids, instead of one at the time, you know, looking for a better job or what it was. Maybe he was married for too long. I don't know. Because let's say the time I noticed, I was about, you know, 4 or 5. My brother's 5 years older. By that point, he was probably married to my mom for at least 10 years at that point. So
your father was married to your mother for about 10 years. You were 4 or 5. Your brother was 10.
Yeah, because yes. They had him like a year or two in to their marriage.
Okay, yeah. So there's a five-year difference between you and your brother.
Yes.
Okay, so what you're saying to me is, in general, that you found as you got older, your dad's alcoholism progressed.
Absolutely.
Okay. And what you're saying to me is you think that the possible causes of this was the stress of family life?
I think it was one factor. I think the truth is that I don't know that my dad was truly ready to get married or have kids. I think he just did it because he thought it was the normal thing to do.
How old was your father when he got married?
He was 32.
That is a respectable age.
Absolutely.
So that ironically may be it, enough, besides though, the fact that you said that it may not have been evident in the beginning and progressed with time.
Yes.
So I'm not so sure if you can speak to whether or not he felt like he was ready to get married. I want you to look at what you observed in
right.
the time that you were
around,
with him.
Obviously.
Right, around, and not speak to when you weren't around.
Right.
Okay? All right. So being around.
But also, too.
Go ahead.
If I can add that. This is also based off of some of the things I've heard, too, because you just reminded me, like, I would ask my mom, like, you never notice this? This just kind of sprung up from the ground one day. And she said, well, you know what? When we first started dating, he would randomly, like, he never had outbursts. He was never bad, almost a completely different person. But sometimes, let's say they're in a car on their way somewhere, he would have like a bottle of Jack in his car and he would just take a sip, put it down, and that was it. Just one. And my mom was like, okay, I guess, because he didn't have these outbursts. But I guess he hid it very well then, and then just over time,
okay, so you hit the nail on the head.
There
okay.
you go.
All right. You hit the nail on the head. Here's the deal. You know, sometimes alcoholism springs up from a crisis or from a stress situation and whatever. And there are many, many, many different reasons why people are alcoholics and addicts. And one of the most popular reasons and the things that we look at today is the fact that this kind of compulsion is a disease. It's a disease.
It absolutely is.
It's a disease, which means that the disease may be in remission. And then over the years, depending upon what's going on in your life, it could surface. The disease can be based on a lot of things. It can be based on genetics. It can be based on heredity. It can be based on environmental situations, mm-hmm. psychological, sociological situations. The American Society of Addiction Medicine, if you go to the website, can list a multitude of reasons for addiction that all have been medically and scientifically documented. However, what you're saying to me is that your father maybe developed this early on and just hid it pretty well from your mother. Also, as time goes on, when somebody drinks more and more, their personality changes, which
right.
means what may have been light and airy in the life of the party in the beginning,
mm-hmm.
eventually over time becomes nasty and belligerent.
Right.
That may very well happen. Over time.
Stay with us. We'll be right back. Are you ready to transform and empower your life by changing the way you think, feel, and act? Then it's time to schedule a coaching call appointment with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified empowerment coach and recovery coach. My style of coaching is part cheerleader and part drill sergeant. Always in your corner and at the same time giving you the push you need to truly move forward and exactly what you need to take command of your life. If you are ready for the Pushy Broad from the Bronx, I am ready for you. Visit my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says one-on-one coaching. Make an appointment today. I'm talking with my co-producer, Richard Torres, and we're talking about what it's like to be a child of an alcoholic. So here you are at 22 years old. You've spent time since you were 4 years old witnessing your dad's alcoholism. Has it affected you? Do you think you're an alcoholic?
No, absolutely not.
So you don't have that disease. What about your brother?
I don't think so either. And here's why. Because ironically enough, my brother has this hobby of collecting beer. Just different beers, but he's not a drinker. He's never had outbursts. He doesn't have any issues with that.
So when you mean collecting beer, he collects beer in the bottles?
Different IPA drink? Beers. And yeah, I mean that, or like if he'll drink it, he'll have a drink after work or this and that.
He's not an alcoholic. He doesn't do things in excess.
No.
He's not misusing.
Absolutely not.
And your mother does not misuse.
No. The only one I can comment on myself, here's what I observed. One, I have realized over time that I do have a little bit of compulsive behavior, but it's nothing ever that was extreme. I've always been turned off from alcohol. Like when I, you know, once I became of age, you know, 18 to 21, you know, kids loved to drink at that time. I was never a big drinker. I didn't care about doing that crap. And it wasn't necessarily resenting either. You know, I don't mean to call it crap. Like it's of anger. Like it's just...
But it did not affect you in the same way, which is something that that is interesting, I think, for our listeners. Just because mom or dad may have a substance misuse issue does not necessarily mean that this disease will be passed on to the siblings.
Exactly.
Also, your dad has an alcohol misuse problem, and even though you don't manifest alcohol misuse problem, you do suffer occasionally from compulsions that you are aware of and that you do your best to control.
Yeah, and I will say it has severely, severely gone down since I would say being a teenager. And it was more like, it was like little things. Like I would, excessively eat a lot of food or drink a lot of soda as a teenager. I don't know why. Or I would like finish jars of peanut butter. I would always close the door.
So there was a little bit of a food addiction or compulsion, which is not uncommon. OCD is also a little obsessive compulsive.
Yeah, like I would have to close the door a certain way or step out the door a certain way. Just weird things like that, which completely I don't do that stuff anymore.
Okay. All right. So another thing here is to let people know that in some ways we can outgrow certain compulsions.
Absolutely.
We can. Or learn how to deal with them in a different way.
Yeah.
But basically, alcohol or drug misuse does manifest itself as an addiction, and as an addiction will show up in our brains.
Right.
You know, as a chronic chemical chronic chemical brain disorder.
Right.
Is what I'm trying to say here. All right. So for 18 years, you have witnessed your father's alcoholism. You said it was getting worse over time and he became more and more belligerent. Give me an example of the worst of times with your dad.
I think the worst it became was when it was like an everyday thing that he was shouting and arguing with someone in the house, be it me, my brother, mostly my mom. But again, you know, you're growing up in it and you're watching it and it's just like, why are you yelling at my mom so much? It's very annoying.
It affected the relationships, right?
Absolutely.
I think it affected the relationship between your mother and father.
Absolutely.
And they are still together.
Yeah, well, I would say my mom's putting up with it more so than them.
All right, so you said that there's conditions around this arrangement.
I'd say so.
And what other consequences did your father suffer because of this?
Well, only it's been less than 2 years now. Just a couple Decembers ago, he had a little bit of an incident at work. Nothing major, but he was a city mechanic. And because he had alcohol in his system and he ran a car into something. He didn't mess it up or anything, but he bumped into something. They tested him right away. He had alcohol and then they sent him to rehab right away. At first he pretty much got fired. He wasn't paid until they gave him a retirement pension because he had been there for some time. He had some tenure there.
So your father was at one job for how many years?
He's been, I think it was like 15 years, something like that.
Okay. How many times during that 15 years did he go to treatment for substance misuse, for alcoholism? How many times has your dad been in treatment?
He went to, he had AA meetings, I think. This was, okay, so this was what I just mentioned prior was like December 2016. So that was, these AA meetings were probably no more than 2 years before that.
Okay, so that was AA meetings, which is certainly Alcoholics Anonymous meetings is what you're referring to. And,
right.
And he was mandated to do those things by
work?
Yes, he was. Okay, so he completed a certain number of meetings in a certain number of days.
Right.
Like 90 meetings in 90 days or something like that. But other than that, I'm talking about residential or day treatment specific for alcohol abuse.
Not at all.
He's never been to residential treatment?
Never. Not until he was finally thrown out in December 2016.
All right. So December of 2016, he actually went physically away for
30 days.
Alcoholism. Yep. He went away 30 days. And then he came back and was monitored and then returned to work.
He was monitored. He did not return to work. They kind of threw him a pretty hard ball. I'll give him that, regardless of his issue. But on top of that, they didn't bring him back. They gave him his retirement pension, took half of his check, and left him home.
I see. Okay. But they may have taken him back if he was a younger man.
Probably.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Okay. How old is your father?
He's 61 now.
Okay, so they gave him basically a little early retirement and gave him some treatment. So now, currently, what is the latest incident with your father and his alcohol misuse?
Well, very unfortunately, this past week, and I wasn't home, he had been drinking more than usual. And I know he is an alcoholic, and he does still drink a lot. I would say his outbursts were still frequent, definitely not as often as it was, not every day, maybe every other day, whatever. But he had drank a little more than usual that day. He had a whole bottle of whiskey all day by himself. He was walking outside behind the back steps, and he fell. And he fell right on his face, and he was unconscious when my mom found him.
My goodness, and of course he could have killed himself from that accident.
And he's had head trauma before because he's fallen before.
Okay, so mom found him and then an ambulance got him.
Yep.
And he's currently in the hospital.
Yeah.
And he's okay.
He is okay.
And what kind of a toll is this taking on you? How do you feel about this?
Well, when I first heard it, I only really had two emotions. It was one of, well, I hope he's okay. You know, yes. Admittedly, growing up through this, you know, resentment does build, but, you know, I definitely don't want him to be hurt or anything like that.
Okay.
And then the second feeling, which is the more predominant feeling, is just hands in the air. Same old, you know, and it's just like, when is, you know, what are you going to do? It's just, it's over and over and over.
So you've pretty much become anesthetized to this. It's like,
yeah.
I know this drill, I know this ball game, I know how this goes,
right.
And I'm not going to suffer the emotional trauma around it.
No. And you know what? And that's not to say that, frankly, I ever did, because I always knew that it was always a problem that he just couldn't handle.
So you live with something kind of matter of fact, even as a young person.
Yeah.
And when you asked your mother, did you ever confront your father and say, Dad, why are you drinking so much?
Yeah, we would do it all the time, especially when...
Who's we?
Myself, my brother, my mom, you know.
The three of you would sit down and confront your father.
Yeah. And it was always, I can't repeat some of the things he said, but he pretty much would tell us off in two words.
I see. When you sat down and confronted him, you would say to him, stop drinking or don't do this anymore? Did you ever ask him why he did it?
Yeah. We would tell, yeah, I don't know that we did. We would just tell him to stop. And he would say, no, mind your business, blah, blah, blah. And I know that, you know, I will say that's from my experiences, because I know that my mother has had very one-on-one, very in-depth one-on-one conversations with him where she would say, listen, you know, just kind of going over his life. Because he's had a tough life, I understand. But even that didn't necessarily work.
Right, I understand. Okay, and also, too, did your father ever admit to your family that he had a problem drinking?
Only in, like, resentment. You know, I'll give you a weird example. I always remember this vividly for some reason. For many, many, many years ago, we're all sitting, we're having dinner, and we're watching TV, and this old show called Crankyaggers. No one's gonna remember that. On Comedy Central. The commercial runs, and someone's on the phone, and he says, I'm an alcoholic, right? And then my brother laughs. And my dad's like, why is that funny? Because I'm an alcoholic? And my brother's just like, no, because it was funny.
You know?
Oh, I see. So yeah. Your father does associate with it, even though he doesn't want to come out and admit it.
Exactly.
I understand. So, how do you think that this has affected you growing up? How do you think it has affected your confidence, your self-esteem, your socialization skills? How does it affect you knowing that your father is an alcoholic?
Well, I know it's negatively affected me. Well, in terms of a confidence thing, you know, I think we grew up a lot more with insecurities and this and that. I know I did, and my brother probably has too. You know, there's definitely a lot of ill confidence issues. You know, knowing can we handle anything ourselves, because nothing is ever consistent or normal. There's never encouragement. You know, it's always a knock or an insult or this and that.
That's interesting. So you never got the kind of consistent love and affection or praise and support from Dad, because his way of trying to teach you something was to tear you down in order to do it.
Yeah.
Like, as he was belligerent, as he was drinking.
Right.
That's what you're saying.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I give you the small example. You know, I'm slim and healthy now, but, you know, as a kid, I was a chubby kid, and, you know, he'd just be like, oh, you're fat and whatever, you know.
I can't believe that you were fat.
Yeah, I know.
You were
no one believes
far
it.
Far from that now. But okay, all right. So it does have an adverse
just
effect.
One example. Yeah,
the alcoholic personality has had an adverse effect.
That, and you know, I would even talk to my mom even to this day, and I would say, you know, why does it always feel like we got to tiptoe around here? You know, our own home, like it's always an issue of like, what's going on? What are you doing? You know, he's always up everyone's case, and he's just drunk and he's just doing that. That's
so
one thing.
It was
thing.
A question of walking on eggshells not to disturb
Absolutely.
The bear.
Yeah. You know, and it's very uncomfortable. It's like being a stranger in your own home. The next kind of thing that I have observed over time, I've read this before, and I'm speaking with you here. I was able to see a lot of assurance in this and be able to see that, you know, I'm not the only one. I read an article a number of years ago, early in college, where children of alcoholic parents tend to lack social skills and tend to not really make a lot of friends. Not that they're bullied or anything necessarily. They just don't know how to connect with people very well. And I absolutely know I didn't do that. You know, in all of elementary school, middle school, high school, I didn't like to join clubs. I wasn't a part of anything. Because I saw my brother do it. He would join sports, this and that, and then my mom would go pick him up at, you know, 7 in the evening. It's, where are you going? This and that. Why does he have to be a part of this and that? Like, everything was about him. And, you know, and it just, I grew up and watched that. Again, my brother's 5 years older, and I didn't want to grow up and go do stuff for, you know, like he did, just to hear my dad complain about it. You know, and that kept me away from making friends and learning different things or whatever, you know, and...
So it affected your personality, your social skills, and some of the decisions that you made in your life.
Totally.
So now here you are at 22 years old.
I don't mean to cut you off. I never brought a friend over until I was maybe 18.
Wow.
I never brought a friend over. And that wasn't even really a friend. That was a girl I was dating at the time. So, you know, it's just...
So you didn't bring someone to the house because you were embarrassed. You didn't want them to meet your father.
Yeah, totally.
Okay. So here you are at 22 years old, and you are living at home at the moment, and I know it's a temporary situation because
right.
you're just out of school. Does your father affect you the same way he did before?
No.
He's still drinking.
Oh, yeah.
How do you handle it now?
Tune it out. I say...
Okay, tune it out.
Ironically enough, a couple years ago, last year, my brother moved out, and he got his own home, and he came back to visit one time. He's like, how do you still live here? And I'm like, I wear a lot of headphones. And that's pretty much what I do all day.
Okay.
I just ignore it all and have my headphones on. Well, I've also had to give you an immense amount of credit, Ellen, based on the fact, as we all know, that you are a life coach and you've spent a career helping addicts get through a lot of their issues. Now, you know, for years, like I mentioned earlier, I would read different articles. So I would read this and that, and I'd get a little bit of assurance on things, you know, but it was nothing concrete. And being able to speak with someone... you who knows this, I mean, just knows how to handle it very well in every way possible, has been through the ringer with so many people. I was able to get a good assurance with you and really just realize that, you know what, like, you know, I am capable of just not letting it affect me and do all that. And I was able to push through, if you will, through a lot of those incompetence issues. Because I'll admit, you know, we've only been working together for close to 2 years now. I don't think, well, I know for sure the most confident I've been in handling probably these issues have been in the last couple of years, you know, and that's true. That's definitely a fact. You know, I only graduated college very recently. I still remember being in the middle of college and still like timid to be around and tiptoeing and not being happy, you know, at home and just feeling like I'm going to cause an issue or whatever, you know. So it's good that I've been able to finally stand on my own 2 feet. And I thank you for that.
Well, you're welcome, and I appreciate that. And like I said, some of the work that I do, some of the passion work that I do is not only helping alcoholics and addicts when they come out of treatment, but also dealing with families and, like you, adult children of alcoholics. And I want everybody out there to realize that you are not alone, and there are many different ways to handle things. And time gets better the more you know about this disease and the more you understand that these things are not your fault.
Right.
As an adult child of an alcoholic, these situations are not your fault.
And you are not expected to ride the roller coaster of someone else's addiction. We'll be right back.
We've all had a push moment, and the Pushy Broad from the Bronx wants to hear some of yours. If you'd like to share your most defining moments for her Everybody Needs a Little Push segment, or want to ask a question for her No or Yes segment, or maybe you want to share your 10 minutes of tears moment, you can email her at ellen@pushybroadfromthebronx.com. We love reading all of your comments, questions, and push moments. You can be a part of an amazing group of people and get more access to the Pushy Broad from the Bronx by becoming a part of her email list. If we air your question or comment on the Pushy Broad from the Bronx podcast, for privacy purposes, we will change your name to protect the innocent. Or the guilty. We don't know. We're not judging. If you aren't ready to share with her just yet, or if you want more Pushy Broad from the Bronx goodness, join her Facebook group. Follow her on Instagram and Twitter. Be sure to check out her website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com.
This is Ellen Stewart, the Pushy Broad from the Bronx. I am here with Richard Torres, my co-producer. We're having a very powerful and illuminating discussion on what it's like to be an adult child living at home with an alcoholic. So how do you feel? Do you find that you are very protective of your mother and what's going on with her? Do you think that your mother is handling this well? Do you think she could handle it better? What do you think?
Well, I've definitely become more concerned with my mother's well-being. I always have, you know, my entire life, you know, I'm a mama's boy. That's okay. But also too, and I've known what she's gone through. You know, it's, you know, if anyone's gone through it, you know, harshly or the worst, it's her. I feel like to an extent, she has become more aware of how to handle things like we have, but I do feel like there's still a little bit of a bias there. It's her husband. It's supposed to be the love of her life, who she committed to, and I think
and
she's still
always known, though, okay? All right? Yeah. Because like you said, when they were dating, he was drinking. She just didn't realize to what extent this was possible.
Yeah.
She has been married to your father for how long?
I think 27 years.
27 years, yeah. Knowing full well the man that he is, and people do stay for different reasons, and maybe she would argue that she stayed for the kids because she had two of them.
I would say so. Right. I would always tell her, I'm like, I know you stayed to make it easier for us.
Okay, but now mom is in a different situation, correct?
Yeah.
Your brother is out.
Right.
You are certainly self-sufficient.
Right.
If you had to leave the house, you would be fine in doing so.
Absolutely.
So why is mom still staying?
Well, she's probably one of the more patient people I've ever met in my entire life.
Oh, I'm sure she is.
The most. You know, everyone tells her that. I think it's the fact that, frankly, my mom is, you know, she handles her business, but she, in heart, is not a confrontational person.
Okay.
And I think that definitely shows with handling him, because I used to tell her, and she would admit it too, the mistake was he would start to get more assertive over the years. He would get more aggressive.
If she confronted him. If she stood up to him?
She never did. That's what I was going to say. Like, he would just yell and scream, and she would just kind of look, you know? And over time, she eventually, now she stands up for herself very well. But I think it's to the point where it's just too late. He's too comfortable to to take it back, you know, that someone's telling him.
It's very interesting. It's very interesting that you say it's just too late.
Okay. I think so.
Well, all right. Because I don't think it's ever too late.
Right.
Honestly, it's never too late. It's never too late to get clean and sober. It's never too late to get into recovery. The only time it's too late to handle your addiction is if you're dead, no matter when. Okay. So that if you're an active alcoholic, if you're an active drug addict, it is never too late to get clean and sober, which means it's never too late to change your behavior. Right. And it's also never too late for the person who is handling that, either as an adult child of an alcoholic or spouse or a partner of someone that is in active addiction, to say, I'm not going to take this anymore. It's never too late to say that. It is always a good idea to say, I love you and I support you, but I need you to get clean and sober. And until that time, I will not be treated less than. I will not be verbally abused. I will not be physically abused. I will not be bullied through that addiction and through that disease. I won't feel the brunt of that. I won't do that to hold the family together. I won't do that to protect the children. I won't do that at all. There are many different ways to make it safer for the family and children, one of which is to pack the children up and leave. But your mother chose things for different reasons, and I'm fully supportive of that. What I want people to understand is that people have to support themselves. Your mother has to take care of herself now, especially since both of her sons are grown and they've done very well and they have a good handle on things, and she's raised two wonderful boys that are socially acceptable and psychologically sound and do some wonderful things. Okay, and I see that in you, which is why I hired you.
Well, thank you.
But mom has to take time for mom right now. Yeah. And mom has to do what's good for mom. And I'm hoping that she will get there. And all of those that are suffering under the oppression of a spouse or a loved one that is in active addiction, I need you to look first at yourself to take care of yourself. Because the addict has to take care of him or herself. And if they're not going to do that, at least you have to take care of yourself. That's the big message here, and the big message for your mother, don't you think?
Right. Oh, absolutely. And if I can add to it, I'm glad that I've been able to kind of see through it, because as I've gotten older, my brother and I, mostly me, I think now, because I've been around more since my brother's left, obviously, but I've told her, you know, that she needs to take care of herself, and she's on board with it. You know, it's just I think it takes practice. You know, she's still.
Yes, you're right. It takes practice. If you're not used to taking care of yourself,
right.
It takes practice. I mean, it's the same thing. You know, they say it all the time. If you're in an airplane and the oxygen comes down, the flight attendant comes on and says, make sure you put your oxygen mask on you first before you put it on your loved one, because if you're not around, how are you going to assist anybody else? So yes, it's take care of yourself. So I understand what you're going through. I have dealt with helping some addicts into treatment this week, including someone that is close to me and my family. And it has been very trying and very difficult. But even knowing what I know and even having all the experience that you have, when it's personal, it becomes emotional, obviously.
Of course.
But the bottom line is, those that are suffering, it is truly a disease, and they need help. People cannot do this alone. And there are wonderful treatment centers and wonderful avenues out there that people can take advantage of.
Including working with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified life coach and recovery coach. Go to my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, click on one-on-one coaching. Call my toll-free number, 800-889-1757. Make an appointment with me today.
So growing up as an adult child of an alcoholic, what particular message would you like other adult children of alcoholics to know?
That they don't have to be ashamed. You know, if I can just explain this, you know, before we had this conversation, Ellen, you let me know you asked me if I was comfortable talking about this, and I said absolutely, because I really want a lot of kids to know, and not only kids, because I've noticed that adults carry it throughout their whole life if their parents are alcoholics, that they don't need to be ashamed, they don't need to hide, that they don't need to not make friends or socialize or whatever, because I know that it may be uncomfortable or it may be embarrassing, but you're not going to deal with that forever. You do become an adult and you do need to move forward with your life. You need to take command and move forward with your life.
Start thinking differently. Take command of your life. Realizing that you're not alone. There are many adult children of alcoholics out there. You may have been fortunate enough not to have that particular disease, or maybe you are an adult child of an alcoholic and you are also an alcoholic yourself. Whatever it is, realize that you did not plan this.
Yeah.
You didn't, you know, you didn't request being this way.
And that's happened. Right. And that's what I wanted to add to that. Because I was mentioning the embarrassing part, and I understand that. It is just like, you know, people will get it. People understand. It's not you. And if no one doesn't understand, then, well, that's maybe them. And that's, it is what it is. And maybe you should choose different friends then, right? But, you know, I agree. It's just everything you're saying, you know, it is a part of my life, but it's not my life. And that's the most important thing people need to remember.
Right. And also, I think in the 2 years that you and I've been working together, there's one thing in particular that is different from what was before.
Right.
I don't think you harbor as much anger as you did before.
Yeah. And that's true. I would say so. Yeah. Because
towards your father.
Of course.
And towards the situation.
Yeah. And there's still, of course, there's still moments of anger and this and that. But of course, obviously, as a teenager or, you know, in through the college years, there was still growing up, and it's still that, I hate him and this and that, and that's very normal. But it's like you're suggesting and reminding me of here. It's not a point to carry that. It's a point to calm down and relax. And talking to you, you know, I admit that I remember talking one of the first times talking to you about it, about how angry I've been and all that, and I meant it. You know, I'm just like, you know, of course I'm pissed, but you reminded me that it's not, that's not the way to go about it, and it's not healthy for
me.
Well,
I reminded you that it's not healthy for you to carry that,
yeah,
because it's what it does to you. It's the negativity that destroys you.
Yeah, and I couldn't agree more.
And that's a difficult thing. It's okay to say I'm angry about it, and it's okay to say, face it. It's not okay to shove it under the rug. It's even okay to say to your father, I'm angry at what you're doing, but I understand that you have no control over this.
That's right.
It's a disease.
And it really, and that's another thing that, if, because you mentioned this enough times, I really want to say, it really is a disease. A lot of people out there think that it's a bad habit, and maybe it is for some people, but others, they truly are susceptible to this. It's a neurological issue. It's a problem, unfortunately, in their brain that gets triggered because of alcohol, and a lot of people don't understand that their treatment needs to be specific. They need help for what is going on with their body. It's not just bad habit. You know, I know a lot of people drink excessively sometimes, but that's
well, like American Society of Addiction Medicine's definition, a chronic chemical brain disorder. That's something that needs a lot of attention and a lot of work. Substance misuse or a compulsion situation going on. I thank you very much today for being extremely courageous and open and honest with our listeners. If our listeners want to talk more about it or ask any questions about addiction, just go to the pushybroadfromthebronx.com and go to the tab, the link that says Ask Ellen, and feel free to ask me any question whatsoever.
Let's move on to my next segment. Do you want quick answers to things with no BS? Here's my segment, No or Yes.
When you need a quick answer, no BS, ask the pushy broad and she'll say no or yes.
Are you in a relationship with an active alcoholic or addict? Are you living with someone right now that has a problem with alcohol or drugs? How do you know? How can you be really sure? If you say yes to any one of these questions, then you are living with an active alcoholic or addict. Let's see how many of these you say yes to. Is the person that you are with drinking more alcohol or for longer than intended? Have they tried to cut down or stopped drinking, but they were unsuccessful? Do they always have hangovers and get sick from drinking? Does their drinking interfere in daily life and relationships? Do they have constant alcohol cravings? Do they continue to drink even though it hurts their relationship with you and the rest of your family? Do they give up most activities and just want to drink? Do they get into dangerous situations around drinking, like a DWI or a DUI? Do they drink more and more quantities of alcohol?
Do they drink even though they know it worsens a health condition? Do they experience withdrawal symptoms? Do you find outward evidence of daily drinking or liquor bottles left around the house? Have they faced serious arrest because of their drinking or drugging? Do they experience mood swings and rages that are brought on by drinking or drugging? Do you find a strange smell in their clothes or their person? Do your children show signs of failing grades or problems at school because maybe they're vaping marijuana or doing drugs? Do they refuse to admit to you that there is a problem, but they won't stop drinking or drugging? Do they deny the problem to you? Do they refuse to cut back on their drinking? Or do they promise to cut back and then unwilling or unable to do so? Do you find that your loved one is alienating family and friends just to continue to drink? Does your loved one become defensive or guilty about drinking and then make sincere promises to you to stop but doesn't? Do you find that they're having frequent hangovers and they're constantly getting sick from their drinking? Do you find that their drinking or drugging interferes in your daily life? If you have said yes to any of these questions, then you are living with an active alcoholic or an addict. So now the question is, what do you do? How do you cope? First, I need you to stop blaming yourself. This is not your fault. You did not cause this. You are not responsible for it. And in not blaming yourself, I know it's very difficult, but you cannot take it personally. The person that you are with cannot stop drinking just because you love them. The person that you are with cannot stop drinking or drugging just because you ask them to. The person that you are with cannot stop drinking or drugging just because they love you. They cannot do it for you. They must do it for themselves. I also want you to stop trying to control it. You cannot control it. Whatever actions or consequences are going to happen as the result of your active alcoholic or drug addict in your home is going to cause, you must let the crisis happen. Their actions have their consequences. You cannot control the outcome. Please know that you cannot fix this problem or cure it. Alcoholism, drug addiction is a disease. There is no cure. There is only remission, and that comes with help. The other thing I want you to do is stop covering it up. Stop making excuses for your loved one's behavior. If you want to go to an event and you're afraid to do that because you were afraid that he's going to be out there drinking or drugging, or she is going to be out there making a scene or causing a situation that will leave you embarrassed, your choices can be to go by yourself or to let that person make their own mistakes. I also want you to stop accepting unacceptable behavior because of it. If you are living with an active alcoholic or addict and they are treating you unacceptably, they are treating your family, your kids, unacceptably in many different ways, I need you to move away from that negative behavior right away. Whatever you have to do, even if it means leaving that person in order for you not to engage or not to accept unacceptable behavior. Please do not have unrealistic expectations if your active alcoholic or addict is in your home and still continuing to use drugs or drink. The only realistic expectation you would like to have and you should have is that person goes to get help. Please try not to live in the past. Stay focused on present situations and what's happening right now. Don't believe that you can just wish this problem away. Not without help. Please do not allow your active alcoholic or addict to be taken care of in a way that enables them. Do not enable them. Allow them to make the tough decisions on their own to get help. You have to move away from this dangerous or potentially dangerous situation. And most of all, do not put off getting help. Most of the time, the loved one who is trying to protect the active alcoholic or addict needs just as much help as the one who is currently misusing alcohol or drugs. Please go to my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, click on the link that says one-on-one coaching, and make an appointment with me today. Work with me, the Pushy Broad, as a recovery coach. Learn the language of recovery. Try as best you can to keep alcohol out of the house at all times. Be patient and loving and encouraging, but understand that addiction is a family disease. The family needs help, and the family can recover together. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to transform and empower your life by changing the way you think, feel, and act? Then it's time to schedule a coaching call appointment with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified empowerment coach and recovery coach. My style of coaching is part cheerleader and part drill sergeant, always in your corner and at the same time giving you the push you need to truly move forward and exactly what you need to take command of your life. If you are ready for the Pushy Broad from the Bronx, I am ready for you. Visit my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says one-on-one coaching. Make an appointment today.
Here's my next segment, 10 Minutes of Tears.
When you're feeling sad and kind of blue, rather lost and not really in it, don't stay angry, lost, or confused. 10 Minutes of Tears is certainly for you. Please cry, but only for 10 minutes.
Here's my last segment, I'm Talking Here.
I'm Talking Here.
I'm Talking Here. Listen. Learn. Pay attention. I'm Talking Here.
So many people ask me, what do I do if I know that one of my loved ones has a problem with drinking or drugging? I am a firm believer in if you see something, say something. If you can honestly take a listen to this podcast and answer those questions in your head and think, my husband has a problem drinking. My son or daughter or friend has a problem drinking or drugging. Or I have a problem with addiction. Then you must do something. It is a matter of life and death. I am not minimizing this. I have seen so many good people, young and old, no longer with us because of this terrible disease. Speak up. Constantly speak up. Speak up until they get help. Get your family involved. Get their friends involved. It is a matter of life and death. And if this is you, like I said, if you don't think you have a problem, then just stop and see what that's like for a long period of time, at least 90 days. See how long you can go. And as I said before, just because you drink once a week doesn't necessarily mean you don't have an abuse problem. Because if you go to drink and you want to finish that bottle and you want more, or you want to smoke pot and then you want to do something else on top of it, then you have an abuse problem that you seriously have to look at. If you see something, say something. Do not give up. Rally your loved ones around you. And make sure that you let this person know how much you love them, how much you care about them, and how much you will support them in getting clean and sober. As I said, you can start by asking Ellen on the website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com. Consider a one-on-one coaching session with me, and we'll see how we can get you some help going forward. I also work as a life coach in recovery, and if you want some personal one-on-one time, go to my one-on-one coaching sessions and we can talk about this disease. If you see something, say something. Do not stay silent. That may be the difference between life and death. This is Ellen Stewart, the Pushy Broad from the Bronx, saying thanks for listening, and remember, everybody needs a little push.
From the Pushy Broad from the Bronx, New York.
The Pushy Broad from the Bronx would like to thank her production team: songwriter, composer, musician, and sound man, Sam Goche; voice artist and announcer, Taylor Goche. Oh, that's me! And thanks to collaborative writer and assistant production manager, Richard Torres; virtual assistant and social media guru, Kimberly Studdard. Special thanks to Laura Kravitz, production manager, and Susan Herman, collaborative writer. And a very special thanks to Love Love Studios in Brooklyn, for recording and mixing our music.
Here is disclaimer information that we are required to produce.
Professional coaches provide an ongoing partnership designed to help clients produce fulfilling results in their personal and professional lives. Coaches help people improve their performances and enhance the quality of their lives. Coaching services received from certified life coach Ellen Stewart, the Pushy Broad from the Bronx, are not offered as a substitute for professional mental health care or medical care, and are not intended to diagnose, treat, or cure any mental health or medical conditions. The Pushy Broad from the Bronx is not acting as a mental health counselor or a medical professional. All comments and ideas offered by Ellen Stewart, the Pushy Broad from the Bronx, are solely for the purpose of aiding her audience in achieving their goals, and hopefully keep you smiling in the process.